Les colloques du Collège de France.
So first of all, I would like to warmly thank Danny for organizing this symposium that will be pretty rich in terms of organisms, organs and approaches that will be presented today to understand animal development and evolution. So let us start with the tetrapod neck. The global aim of my research is to elucidate the origin of morphological innovations that permitted to adapt to new environments. And during the past decade, I focused on one major event that characterized vertebrate evolution, the transition from an aquatic to land lifestyle. And I studied notably the evolution of the neck, that is specific of land vertebrates, also known as tetrapods. You can see here a simplified cladogram of jawed vertebrates, gnathostomes, composed of cartilaginous fish, bony fish, amphibians, mammals, lizards, and birds. During vertebrate evolution, water to land transition has been characterized by the emergence of morphological innovation, including the limbs and the neck. The neck that connects the head to the trunk allows the head to move independently from the body on land, and also contains essential elements that ensure food intake, respiration, and vocalization processes. And while the origin of the head, trunk, and limbs had been well studied during the past decades, the neck region has received less attention. So on the muscular aspect, for instance, in vertebrates, the head and trunk muscles arise from different embryonic populations that are regulated by distinct genetic programs. You can see here a schematic view of early mouse embryo and a fetus. You can see here the pharyngeal arches that will notably give rise to the jaws and also the limb buds. Within pharyngeal arches, you can see the cardiopharyngeal mesoderm in pink that will be specified by a set of transcription factors, including MESP1, ILT1, TEBX1, and give rise to head and part of the heart musculature. In contrast, PAC3 will be activated in the segmented somatic mesoderm and give rise to the trunk and limb muscles. The neck constitutes a transition zone at the interface of head and trunk domains. And my first aim has been to elucidate the contribution of mesodermal population in the neck. So the neck is a complex region of about 80 muscles in mammals. They can be divided into four main groups. The first includes the pharynx, larynx, and esophagus muscles located in the core of the neck that ensure food intake, respiration, and vocalization processes together with hypobranchial, including tongue muscles. In parallel, pectoral stabilization and mobility is carried out by anterior apexial and hypaxial muscles and cucularis-derived muscles. Of particular interest here is the origin of the cucularis, that is the muscles found in gnathostomes that connect the head to the pectoral girdle, as you can see here in blue in chalk. After the emergence of the neck, the cucularis greatly expanded and specialized to give rise to the sternocleidomastoid ventrali here, and to the trapezius dorsali, constituting a major neck muscle group for pectoral and head mobility and locomotion in tetrapods. So the origin of the cucularis has been highly debated during the last century. You have here a dorsal view of an early mouse embryo with the cardiopharyngeal mesoderm in pink, the thymatic mesoderm in red, and the lateral plate mesoderm in yellow. So it, depending the experimental approaches and the vertebrate species analyzed, all somatic cardiopharyngeal and lateral plate mesoderm origin were reported. So to elucidate the precise origin of neck muscles, I performed an extensive lineage mapping of the different mesodermal populations. And here we have made use of complementary genetic lineage reporters in mouse to map the contribution of MEF2C, Islet1, MESP1, and PAC3 that are transcription factors involved in the early specification of the cardiopharyngeal and the somatic for muscle formation. Some of the results using LAGSI reporters are shown here perinatally. I also traced these lineages earlier during development, and also on sections to access the internal structures of the neck. And here I notably analyzed in perinatal mice the contribution of MESP1 and PAC3 lineages to the musculoskeletal system, here using a red fluorescent reporter. And we discriminated the muscles derived from MESP1, those originating from both MESP1 and PAC3 lineages, and muscle deriving from the PAC3 lineage only. Excuse me. So these slides present the major results we obtained, and unexpectedly it revealed that three distinct myogenic programs are involved at the neck pectoral level. On the scheme, you can see here the future neck region in an early embryo and fetal mesodermal derivatives. In pink are shown the muscles derived from the cardiopharyngeal mesoderm involving MEF2C, Islet1, and MESP1 lineages. You can see here the precursor of the cucularis, this ancestral muscle of controversial origin that I told you about, and that gave rise to the sternocleidomastoid and the trapezius muscle here, posteriorly. So first, the analysis showed that these cucularis-derived muscles originate from a cardiopharyngeal mesoderm program, as do laryngeal muscles. Moreover, it turns out that some mites here, anterior to the limb bud in red, use a very unusual program involving both MESP1 and PAC3 lineages to give rise to all somatic neck muscles. In contrast, the pectoral muscles and pectoral and limb muscles derive from the PAC3 lineage only the more posterior somites. It just suggested that a specific myogenic program is involved in the formation of somatic neck muscles, distinct from that of the somatic trunk muscles, and that the cucularis is indeed of cardiopharyngeal origin. To complete this lineage mapping of neck muscles, and we also perform functional analysis in TBX1 and PAC3 mutants, given the key role of TBX1 in the formation of head and head muscles, and of PAC3 in the formation of trunk and limb muscles. It was previously shown that mice inactivated for TBX1 presented defects in head and head muscles. In contrast, PAC3 mutants are known to present reduction or absence of trunk and limb muscles. Here we analyze the effects of TBX1 and PAC3 mutation in mouse on the development of the neck musculoskeletal system. So we analyzed the TBX1 and PAC3 mutants by classical histological analysis, but also by tomography for 3D reconstructions of the neck musculoskeletal system to access complex neck anatomy. Here, we discriminated the neck muscles derived from the cardiopharyngeal mesoderm in pink, the neck muscles derived from anterior somites in red, and pectoral muscles originating from more posterior somites in violet. And as expected, if you delete TBX1, the cardiopharyngeal muscles are affected, but the pectoral muscles are present. On the contrary, if you delete PAC3, the neck muscles, the head muscles of cardiopharyngeal mesoderm origin are present, but pectoral muscles are absent. However, we discovered that the neck muscles originating from the MESPI1 and PAC3 lineage in anterior somites were differentially affected. Surprisingly, they were altered in TBX1 mutants, and the somitic neck muscle is expected to be affected by the PAC3 mutation are actually present, in contrast to pectoral muscles, indicating that PAC3 is not required for anterior somite development. So this work permitted first to reveal that the neck has a mixed cardiopharyngeal and somatic origin. The analysis also indicated that anterior somites in red use a unique genetic program for the formation of the neck that is distinct from the program taking place in more posterior somites, giving rise to pectoral and limb muscles. On this basis, one of our current objectives in the team is to characterize the gene regulatory networks that would be specific for the establishment of the neck musculoskeletal system. So, in parallel, we also analyzed the origin of neck connective tissue. So, connective tissue closely associated to muscles that has been shown to be essential for muscle patterning and also suggested to be crucial for the conservation of muscular attachment sites during evolution. And as observed for muscles, the connective tissue has different embryonic origin along the axis. In the head, the neural crest cells in green give rise to some skeletal components of the head, to tendons, and to connective tissue that are inside the muscles. In contrast, these components are derived from the somatic mesoderm in the trunk and from the lateral plate mesoderm in the limb. So the origin of the connective tissue of the neck remained unclear, being at the interface between head, trunk, and limb fields. So we analyzed the relative contribution of the neural crest, the somatic mesoderm, and the lateral plate mesoderm to elucidate the origin of the neck connective tissue. Here are the different reports of mice we used. And our data show that the neck connective tissue is of mixed origin as observed for muscles. We ended with this following model. So representing the skeletal component here in the limb, trunk, and head domain, and the neck and shoulder skeletal component at the interface between the three fields. Here are shown the, the schematic view of the muscles connecting the different skeletal components, and the dots are the connective tissue that are within the muscles. And the close analysis of the different reporter mice revealed that the connective tissue composition within muscles correlates with the cellular origin of associated skeletal components. As an example here, we have a magnification of the trapezius at the level of the scapula, that is of lateral plate or mesoderm origin. And this connection, the connective tissue is also of lateral plate mesoderm origin. And while when you go anteriorly, when it connects to the head, it is almost exclusively derived from the neural the neural crest cells. So from this data, we had a clear view of the cellular and embryonic origins of the different components of the neck in mammals. And on this basis, our aim has been to elucidate how the neck emerged and adapted during vertebrate evolution. But first, I had to define the homology of muscles connecting the head to the trunk between fish and tetrapods. And muscle homology is defined by three components. First, the embryonic origin. Second, the innervation that is pretty well conserved during evolution. And also three, the attachment sites on associated skeletal structures. So first, we analyzed the mesodermal origin of muscles connecting the head to the trunk in fish compared to tetrapods. And we focused notably on the putative homologus of the cucullaris. And you can see here the head trunk interface. It is this super tiny muscle you can see here in the zebrafish larva. So I completed expression and lineage analysis in zebrafish using green fluorescent reporters for PAX3 that labels the somatic mesoderm, and for TBX1 labeling the cardiopharyngeal mesodermal derivatives. And this permitted to show that the putative cucullaris is of cardiopharyngeal origin in zebrafish, as observed in mouse. So to ensure the homology of the cucullaris and all the muscles connecting the head to the trunk between zebrafish and tetrapods, here we analyzed in 3D the innervation of muscles in the zebrafish larva, but also in axolotl, salamander, as a tetrapod reference. And all together, the expression, lineage, and innervation analysis demonstrated the conserved embryonic origin and homology of muscles connecting the head to the trunk between fish and tetrapods. We then evaluated the relative contribution of the somatic and cardiopharyngeal mesoderm to the emergence and adaptation of the tetrapod neck. And this, for this, we perform comparative anatomy in key gnatostome species. So here are the specimens that we included in the analysis. So first, the telesed zebrafish, my no-neck model, with the skull directly associated to the pectoral girdle, and for which I collected data in the larva. We also included the bichir, a basal actinopterygian that have a lung and the capacity to breathe, and also to use the pectoral fin to walk onto land. We also included the coelacanth and the lungfish, both prosthetic lung that are two sarcopterygian fish that are known to be close relative to tetrapods, and that who emerged during the water to land transition about 400 million years ago. We included two salamander species, one aquatic, the axolotl, and also the newt that undergoes metamorphosis, so transitioning from the aquatic to land habitat during his life cycle. And finally, the annulus lizard, an amniote fully emancipated from the aquatic habitat that shows a flexible long neck to complete the data I collected in-house. So here, each specimen at juvenile stage has been analyzed by tomography, and we manually reconstructed the skeletal components, the skull and the entire skeleton, and muscle groups of interest that connect the head to the trunk, including the dorsal epaxial and hypaxial musculature in dark blue, the hypobranchial musculature here that we know are of somitic mesoderm origin. We also reconstructed the cucullaris muscles and the laryngeal musculature that we know from our data collected in mouse and zebrafish are of cardiopharyngeal mesoderm origin. So you can see here lateral, dorsal, and ventral view of the zebrafish, bichir, and landfish, and here of the axolotl, newt, and lizard. So I will not go through the details, but the main results are summarized here with a schematic views of the skull, of the pectoral girdle, and associated muscle groups of interest in the different taxa. So the study revealed that all neck muscle groups were already present in fish, that they have been co-opted in tetrapods, acquiring a new function after the water-to-land transition. So first, you can see that in tetrapods, there is the hypobranchial musculature that you can see here in light blue, expanded in the oral cavity, forming the tongue, and assuring here, and more likely improving food capture and food intake adapted to land. For muscle groups of cardiopharyngeal mesoderm origin, the cucullaris underwent successive dorsoventral and posterior extension, that facilitated the processes of locomotion and head mobility on land. And finally, the laryngeal musculature that is pretty tiny here in violet. Were already present in fish, actually, and with apparently an ancestral role in helping respiration. And then the laryngeal musculature has been co-opted and involved in vocalization processes on land. So, in summary, the posterior expansion of the cardiopharyngeal mesoderm in the trunk domain and the opposite extension of the somitic mesoderm into the oral cavity both participated to the emergence and adaptation of the neck. not only to assure head mobility, but also assuring head function of respiration, food intake, and vocalization processes adapted to a terrestrial life. So from these studies, we have a pretty good idea of the cellular embryonic origin of the different components of the neck and how mesodermal populations contributed to the emergence and adaptation evolution of the neck musculature in vertebrates. So my team now recently established at the Institut de Génomique Fonctionnelle de Lyon is now investigating the cellular and molecular determinants of tetrapod neck formation and adaptation, and here by studying different vertebrate model organisms to access the disparity of forms, length, and function of the neck in tetrapods. And here we hope that this comparative approach will allow us to determine the conservation and divergence in genetic programs and to discriminate the cellular and molecular actors of neck formation and adaptation. So with this, I would like to thank my collaborators who contributed to the work I presented today, and also those who are now developing new lines of research together with my team members at IGFL to discover more about tetrapod neck formation and adaptation and how vertebrates adapted to land. That's it. Thanks for your attention.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.